This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. Here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9, your favourite video game show. It is time for your first dose of news.
With the games industry changing so often, it can be hard to keep up.
So it's time to get updated with your weekly news Checkpoint.
Yes, and we do love being updated with all the latest gaming news. Now, some pretty big news over the last couple of weeks. The first one I know that Rachel is super excited about, because she has to be, because it's to do with Overwatch.
No, not Overwatch. Me? No.
What is Overwatch?
I have no idea what this game is. It's a brand new concept to me and I've never played it. Tell me more.
So Overwatch is a team-based multiplayer shooter that was one game of the year by every publication ever last year, basically. And the newest character to join Overwatch was announced, called Orisa.
Did you script that?
No.
Did you script that before you walked in the door?
No. You saw me come
it's
in.
Improvisation, mate. It's radio. What you
I know, but you could have secretly plotted it, because I still don't really get the whole Overwatch craze.
What? Well, you haven't played it though, right?
I have played it.
You have? And you didn't like it?
Didn't get hooked on it.
Why didn't not? You like it though? Like, what about?
No, I didn't dislike it. I just didn't get hooked.
But why?
Clearly I'm in a room of addicts.
I believe you're in the wrong room today.
Ooh, contentious.
So legit though, like, why?
Yeah, seriously. Can you give us a reason in 25 words or less?
I would have had to have incorporated it into my other gaming lives, and it didn't work.
Well, you have a lot of gaming lives, let's be real. I do. We all do. Look, Overwatch, I still love. But Orisa is a robot joining the tank lineup. So think about your Reinhardts and stuff like that. So definitely a focus on defensive players, and her abilities involve damage reduction for herself and teammates. She can launch a graviton charge to pull enemies towards the explosion, and puts a stationary protective barrier down to help block incoming attacks. And her ultimate actually helps increase damage inflicted by all allies within her line of sight. So if you're looking for a character who's really good at using buffs and things like that, she's going to be really handy on the battlefield.
Look, from everything off the public test server, she has been so well received and so well loved, and I'm so keen to get my hands on her.
Yeah, and they've said hopefully she'll be online maybe by the end of the March if we're lucky.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm super keen as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, Blizzard have been really good about the timing of what they say, and if they say by the end of March, I honestly believe we'll see her beforehand or definitely by the end of March.
Yeah.
So that's the one good thing about Blizzard. They deliver.
What I like about her is, and something that like Ronnie, who does Checkpoint as well, pointed out, is that someone sort of said she looked a bit sort of like childish in the way she's designed. But then an 11-year-old has made this robot. That's the backstory of the character.
Which so makes sense.
It makes total sense. And it looks like the kind of robot that an 11-year-old girl would make that thinks is really cool.
And she incorporates the best bits of all the tanks, basically.
Yeah.
So that's the key part.
Passive buffs are an art form. I will say that. Yeah. She might be a bit of an interesting one as far as timing of buffs and etc.
See, I'm thinking as well, like pairing her with someone like Hacker, what's her name? Sombra.
Sombra.
So, like, pairing her with Sombra, because Sombra can use her ultimate to, like, stop all incoming powers to be used. And then you combine that with someone like Orisa, who can boost damage and stuff
and
like that.
And then you wipe them out.
Holy crap. Yeah. Like, that's a good move, you
that
know?
That is a lethal combination right there. Just throw Sombra in first and throw Orisa in afterwards and, like, boost everyone. And this is like, what's happened to the other team?
Chuck a shield down as well to stop you being attacked at all, you know? So I think that's a good thing about Overwatch overall, is that you start thinking about these tactical combinations before the character even comes out. You're thinking, how is that going to fit in with my team? How am I going to play with this character? It's not just a skin or just like a new face or something. It's like a game changer in a literal sense.
Could you imagine her Mercy boosted as well?
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Yeah, see, this is...
That's like, I hadn't even thought about it until just then, because, like, could you just imagine a Mercy boost on that?
Yeah.
So would it be fair to say that Overwatch's biggest draw card for the both of you has been its experimentation factor with the new characters?
I think not just the new characters, but I think what makes Overwatch so good and so long lasting is that even though it's essentially a multiplayer game and it's the same sort of modes over and over again, but the possibilities of character combinations of this will be the 24th character entering the fray.
That's a big lineup.
It's even huge.
Most fighters don't even give you that many.
It's not just here's your lineup. They're ever expanding.
Yeah. There's more coming for sure. And, I mean, this is the third new addition to the lineup, I think. Yes?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they keep on changing the game, you know, and they keep on evolving how it works and making little tweaks that change things as well, adding new maps and new modes, and they're just constantly changing it. So it is really cool.
Yeah, and what I love about it is even though you can have one player who's like a god amongst men or whatever on the field, it's not just a single-player game. It is a team-focused game. It does rely on teamwork.
There's no stacking as far as solo, you know.
Not really. I mean, you might get one person that does main a character and
obviously has a lot of experience with it.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, they're not going to win the match by doing that. They might be really annoying and jump ahead and try and get kills, but the game's not about
that. It's a team-focused game. Hello, people. You remember that payload?
Stay on the payload.
Focus the payload.
And I think it's just a testament to Blizzard, who are so good at making games that last a long time.
Yeah.
So anyway, Arisa, I'm excited. We talk about Overwatch for a whole hour. We should do an Overwatch episode. Yeah. Just me and Rage are going to talk about Overwatch.
There's an Overwatch intimate coming someday.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah. I'll make a note. in more relative news to more people out there, Jason Momoa, who you would know from Game of Thrones. He was Khal Drogo in season one. Great character, and also because he was shirtless all the time.
I'm sorry, were we focusing on anything other than muscles past this? And
look, I mean, he's not even really my type, but to be honest, even then, I'd still probably swoon a little bit because of his acting background.
I don't like men with too many muscles.
He's great. But he also is Aquaman, which is coming out this year as well. Mm. So he's entering into sort of all these geekdoms, all these geek territories. The latest one being a video game to movie adaptation, because of course that was going to happen. Jacob is pensive because video game to movie adaptations don't always go so well.
Since when has that ever worked?
Sometimes it does.
I was being facetious.
Does it though? Has it though? Sometimes name it does. A really good video game to movie adaptation.
Don't put him on the spot.
That's an animated film. That doesn't count.
It's an animation.
I'm doing live action.
Oh, no. Then no.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not talking like some really great Japanese animation.
You know what I did like? I did like the Mario live action.
Oh, the old one?
The old school one.
What about Mortal Kombat? I mean, it was a little tacky, but we all kind of like go, Mortal Kombat!
I love the scene with Scorpion, with like, get over here in the woods with all the trees, as like chasing him through the woods. I love that.
That is a great scene.
And then I love it when Goron. Like, crushes Johnny Cage's glasses and he's like, they cost $400. That film's great.
Yeah.
But having said the movie that, you know, Jason Momoa is in, he'll be in the Just Cause movie that they're making. Now, as a narrative, there's not much narrative to Just Cause. Just Cause is about blowing stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
But and nothing much else.
It just got like 30% sexier about blowing stuff up, right?
Only 30.
Just 30%.
That's a conservative estimate.
No, okay, but remember, we don't like men with too many muscles. So I'm taking like 20% off because of too many muscles.
It'll be interesting to see. I think it's smart casting because I think that he is very pretty, and I think that
he's already generated a huge following.
He has.
Jason Momoa. He's so hot right now.
Like I said, he's done Stargate Atlantis before that, so he's got the sci-fi nerds. Then Game of Thrones, which everyone's
the
watched.
The pure fantasy nerds.
And then he's got now Aquaman coming up, so he's in the superhero universe, and now he's doing the video game universe as well. So I mean, he's definitely I don't know if it's intentional, but he's played it very smart in terms of getting all the geekdoms on board. Yeah, it's a weird ending, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of gone reverse almost.
He's been so hot and now he's going to slow burn.
Well, we'll see how Aquaman goes. That'll be the key. Because Aquaman's a DC one, right?
I don't know.
Or is it Marvel?
I honestly don't know.
It's DC.
It is.
Don't judge me. I'm sorry.
I'm not like the super obsessed, can tell the difference between all of them, I must admit. But I do enjoy a good superhero movie.
Well, DC haven't made a good superhero film for a very long time. Wonder Woman might be good.
Aquaman. Did you see the animated Aquaman?
No,
Netflix
I watched
team?
Animated. Films.
That was good.
Pretty good. Yeah,
that was actually really good.
Animated though, again. You can't. Doesn't mean anything. you know, in the grand scheme of things, no one remembers the animation.
He's dissing our voice actors?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
He's dissing voice actors.
Voice acting is an art. It's an art form, and voice actors need more recognition.
I'm not.
Oh, okay, fine.
I'm not saying they're not.
Little high five across the other side.
They just high fived in front of me, you guys. Look, yeah. Moving on. News. Ubisoft has announced The Division. Rachel.
Yeah.
The Division. I crafted this news just for you. Jacob. The year 2 expansion content will be released entirely for free. Now, the first year of The Division's content, because it came out March last year.
Cost you how much?
Happy birthday.
It was a season pass, so you had to buy the season pass. I can't say how much.
Oh, no.
It was a season pass, and you had to buy that, and then you got lots of DLC from that over the year, along with other updates and bits and pieces and bonuses and stuff like that. Now, all those pieces of DLC are now available. The last one came out a couple of weeks ago, Last Stand. And now they've said the second year of Division, you don't have to pay for it. Everyone's getting it for free at the same time.
Happy birthday, Division.
Yeah, and also if you log on to The Division right now until I think it's March 16th, you get a bunch of freebies as well. So you get free loot, some free money to spend, stuff like that.
Cosmetic stuff, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Is it not going to aggravate the ones that had to pay for the first year?
Well, no, because the first year stuff you still have to pay for.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just the ongoing second year content, the newer stuff that comes out.
Like, if you were there for year one, you still have to pay for that.
Yeah, yeah. And look, you'll probably still have it won't be as good as the one-year content, the first-year content. It won't be like a fully fleshed-out expansions in the same way, I would imagine. It'll probably just be some extra missions, some extra additions and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I don't think it's going to be on the same scale.
Yeah. Actually, I got a message in from my partner who said, wasn't Tomb Raider a game before the movie and that was good? And I think the Tomb Raider movie was that good, actually.
No.
The second one was. The first one wasn't quite so good.
Yeah, second
they
one maybe.
Watchable.
They were watchable.
They at least didn't make you cringe the whole way through.
What about Resident Evil?
Terrible films.
No, fun, but, I mean, fun. Not great movies, but fun.
Fun.
Like,
well, I'm actually keen on the new Tomb Raider reboot they're doing based on the new Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So they're making it sort of her, like, more hard. Like, because Angelina Jolie's kind of had her boobs out and was, like, looking hot doing the Tomb Raider thing, which was fine. But I think the new one's going to actually look at the gritty side of Lara Croft.
The game story.
Yeah, like the recent games have. They've gone back and really shown how she became who she is, which I really like.
But so we're all agreeing that Mortal Kombat was really good.
That's The Division. So, look, I mean, Rach, you still playing The Division?
Yeah. Like, every now and then I'll throw it back in. I still get really annoyed with the idiots in the Dark Zone. But, I'll still throw The Division back in because, you know, I love shooters.
Mm. Well, shit is good.
Yeah.
It's a Ubisoft open world game as well.
And it's one that worked.
Yeah, it was a really good game. And I mean, we still go back to it as well. Again, not regularly, but I'd probably say every few weeks, we're like, we should play The Division tonight. We go back and play it for a few days and then kind of go back to whatever else.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you get your fix and you're like, oh, I remember this now. Because, you know, I maxed out my level really early on in the game. I put like over 150 hours into The Division.
Yeah.
Like, no joke, a lot of time spent. So going back to it is kind of like a comfortable, like a blanket, you know?
Because you enjoy the missions as well.
Yeah.
Like, so some of those missions are fun to replay just to get, like, your daily mission target or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're just fun.
More news. Now, the first one is one that I'm super excited about. I know you are too. Elliot's excited. Jacob's excited because you're a horror fan.
Keen. Everyone should be excited.
Rachel, are you much of a horror fan?
I like spooky things.
That's a maybe. Now, the developers of Outlast 2 have announced that officially it's coming out April 25th, which is amazing because Outlast, the first one, was absolutely terrifying.
it was horror to the extent of me having to put the game down, having a break, and coming back to it.
Did you put the game in the fridge?
No, I didn't put the game in the fridge.
That's the best kind of horror, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you literally need to stop because you're just like
it's,
I can't.
You're almost at the point of having palpitations with this game.
Yes. Now, the first Outlast came out a couple of years ago. It's actually one of the early sort of games on the PlayStation 4 when it came out as well for download. Yeah, it was like in the first year of the console's life.
First couple of months. It was super early.
Which is really interesting. It has since been on PlayStation Plus, Gold, Xbox, all these extra little bits and pieces. So lots of people have played this game now, which is really great. And it bodes well for the sequel, which is going to expand and be even scarier. Now, Outlast was a game where you have no weapons. You just have to.
You have a camera.
You have a camera with night vision, and the night vision makes things even creepier.
And you have to run and hide if someone sees you. And these creatures, deep, weird, big dude creature things, whatever.
Because the first one's set in an asylum.
Yeah. Which is the best.
Oh, I'm out.
Can't do that.
She's like, okay, guys, bye.
Yeah, I'm like, super.
But it was so good, though. And I mean, I remember playing it with a mate and like sitting there and both of us just jumping and being so scared. Now, Outlast 2 looking good.
It looks really good. They had a demo. Right? Yeah. So they had a demo last October, which has been a while now. So
that's it'd be Halloween, interesting to right? see.
Yeah, that was the purpose. And it they moved out of the asylum and it's like an abandoned farmhouse or something like that, I guess. But it did revisit, like it went through the whole like psychological kind of PT style of horror where it like jumps you from area to area and you're disoriented and you don't really know what's going on, so it doesn't stay in one spot. Like you're in a school at one point and
I'm out again.
No, can't deal with schools. Yeah, but it does a really good job of mixing that Silent psychological and the jump scares.
Yeah, I mean it's really fun, and I mean it's coming out as Outlast Trinity, which is a collection of all Outlast content, including the original Outlast, the Whistleblower DLC, and Outlast 2 in a physical disc form as well. So if you don't want to get just the second one, if you want to go back and play the first one, the expansion and DLC as well, you can buy it all in one package, which is pretty cool.
And if you want to buy it physically, that's the only way you can purchase it, I believe. Whereas digitally, you can buy it just Outlast 2 by itself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really keen. I can't wait to give it a go. Turn the lights off. I mean, I'm still coming off the high.
Oh, you are a glutton for punishment.
I love it. Are you trying to?
No,
like,
that's how you play
yourself?
Horror games.
Mate, I played Resident Evil 7 in VR. Like, you cannot stop me.
Yeah, but you were holding your dog's hand, so you cheated a little bit.
I was. It's like my
protect
security.
Me, Rocky.
Rocky?
Rocky.
That's how my dogs talk as well. Yeah, that's fair. The rail gunning, rocket jumping, bunny hopping shoot fest that is Quake returns this year with Quake Champions. Now, this was announced at E3 last year from Bethesda. They're doing all their, like, old school bringing back these shooters. So Doom was the first treatment.
Yeah. We've so this is being made by id, out. I believe. Yeah. id Software. Published by Bethesda.
And only on PC.
Yeah, because Rude. It's a proper, like, old school shooter.
Elitist.
the proper PC.
Have you checked out the gameplay of this?
Oh, yeah, it's fast.
Yeah, it's
really chaotic and fast and, like, jumpy, and there's no way you could track that with a joystick.
Yeah, no. It looks insane. I kind of want it. Yeah.
But it looks really fun.
No, it looks insane. Yeah. I'm kind of on board.
Well, it's looking really cool, and the closed beta is going to be happening shortly, and the beta sign-up process is now open, so... jump onto checkpointgaming.net and check out our article on Quake Champions for info on how to join up in the closed beta. Obviously, these multiplayer betas happen a lot now with games, so they're a really good chance to try before you buy as well and to test it out.
Yeah, well, even more recently, they pointed out that the game is going, like, sort of free-to-play, as in you can play it free-to-play, you have one champion unlocked, and you can rent other ones, or you can just purchase the game and have everything available. Which is an interesting system.
How is the rent-a-champion thing going to...
I don't like it, but...
League of Legends, where you can buy a character and you've got it,
well,
right?
League of Legends, you can purchase them with in-game currency, but it looks like the way they want to do Quake Champions is you're only renting them with in-game currency. If you want to own everything, you have to purchase
rude.
The game.
That is a bit rude.
If you want to do it, you know, buy the game.
Just buy the game at that point,
you've got
the
ball, right? I guess that's what most people would want to do.
As long as buying the game actually gives you all the content, then I see that as a fine option.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were charging for the full game and then charge you to rent characters, right, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
But if the game is free, which means I can play it for nothing, but if I want a certain character for a certain period of time, I have to pay for it, that's fair.
I mean, it's essentially a demo at that point. Yeah. Like, you can have the base game and be able to play it, but you're not going to have, like, everything you want.
Yeah, people shouldn't whinge about it being free. That's not the right... That's not the right response to that. But, look, Quake Champions, it does look really fast-paced and really fun. Quake is a absolute classic old-school deathmatch shooter. So people are really keen on this one. Another one. Now, this is interesting. Sydney. Bloody Sydney. Well, Sydney.
They get everything.
First the Mardi Gras.
Just the worst.
Now Sydney again.
And GX as well. It's the worst. We'll be home of one of the biggest esports events in the world. So IEM Sydney is going to be taking place at the Qdos. Q-U-D-O-S. I'm going to say Qdos.
Qdos.
Qdos Bank Arena in Sydney on May 6th and 7th, featuring the world's top Counter-Strike global offensive teams with a record prize pool of $260,000 Australian dollars.
I'm not sure what record that's breaking. That must just be an Australian record.
Yeah, because the American ones are like millions of dollars.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure the last American one was like something like 13 million or something crazy.
Probably not for Counter-Strike. Probably for like Dota.
Or LOL.
Dota 2 or LOL.
LOL. Easily LOL. Yeah.
I mean, esports, guys, it's obviously one of these things that's just growing and growing and growing. I don't understand it. I never have.
Oh, it's because you're an old man. Get with the times, Luke.
We'll just pull your Zimmer frame out now.
Them's fighting words.
It's fair. It's a fair comment, though. I think it is beyond my generation a little bit, which is weird. Like, it, but I mean, it's. Do you watch esports, Rachel? You do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I just skipped my generation. but look, I mean, I still find it weird watching other people play games.
I prefer to play them.
Yeah, I like to play games.
Oh, I agree, but I find it weird watching sport. And to me, I'd rather watch games. I don't know.
But sport, I can't do. Like, sport
can you play games at a competitive level? Because I can't do the things they do in these games either.
I think in some games I could, maybe.
We'll see.
You know, you watch people do things that you can't do, though. You don't watch people do things that you can do yourself. That's what I think, anyway. Like, I don't watch Top Chef because of... Where am I going with this? I don't know.
Do or do not.
Well,
there is no try.
Take that, the esports scene. Luke has spoken.
I've always said that if I can do it, I'm not going to watch it so much. Like, I watch footy, right? AFL. I am not fit enough... And have the skill level, obviously, because I'm not fit enough and I haven't trained my whole life and rah-rah, to play AFL at a professional level, obviously, right? So I like watching footy. It's great, you know, because they can do things that I just can't do. But watching someone play, like, I don't know, Quake or League of Legends or whatever, if I wanted to, I could do that. I can just download it and play it, right? Like,
they
what's the difference?
They train for, like, 12 hours every day. Yeah. You can't do what they do.
Train.
To play LOL at that level, you do.
Yeah. You live in a house with your teammates and you train all
day every day.
You give up your life almost to play LOL at that level.
So if I'm playing a game like a Gears of War, say, right, and then I play it all the time and I'm really, really bloody good, you're saying that I could not then therefore be good enough to compete with these guys that play
it?
No. No, Yoda.
No, they're on a whole different level.
What if I could, though? What if I'm just naturally good? Good at the game. What if I'm genuinely just like really good at it?
Nobody is like at that level. They're naturally good, but then they also train for 12 hours.
But what if I am?
Okay.
What if I'm really
good? Well, you should do it.
Then do it.
There's a $260,000 prize pool. Why are you on the radio?
This is Luke from Checkpoint challenging the Australian esports team.
Not for Counter-Strike. I've never played Counter-Strike in my life.
Oh, Counter-Strike's so good.
But it's not just for Counter-Strike. There are other games.
It's PC guy and it's Counter-Strike. I know there are. To me, I feel like watching a game and watching someone play it, I'd rather play it myself. I don't get fun feelings watching someone play a game.
Step
in that
up,
way.
Yoda. Come on. Do or do not. There is no try.
You know what? I'm gonna enter one of those tournaments one day to prove you guys wrong. And I'm just gonna like
and
I'm
on that day we will bring the tissues.
I'd love that.
One more news article I want to talk about. It's a wrestling one, and I'm talking about it anyway because no one else cares but me.
I do.
Rachel cares too good. So Fire Pro Wrestling is one of the best wrestling franchises in video games ever. It's so good, but no one knows what it is because it's really focused in Japan and in the US, and it doesn't get released in Australia. The new one's been announced, though. Fire Pro Wrestling World will be coming out in English-speaking countries. This is basically from the developers who made the original WCW versus NWO World Tour on 64, WrestleMania 2000, the original wrestling games that captured my childhood perfectly.
Those were the best games.
Yep. So Fire Pro Wrestling is all about those old school wrestling games. Not what SmackDown is and the WWE games, the WWE 2K. I love those games. WWE, but they're just not technically a good grappler. They're kind of more showboaty and more kind of about the fireworks and the fun, you know what I mean? Fire Pro Wrestling is about the gameplay and the skill. I'm so excited. Fire Pro Wrestling World's been announced. It's being made, and you should be hyped about this. If you're a wrestling fan at all, you need to get excited.
Look, I'm kind of hyped because I used to love playing on the N64, the WCW versus NWO.
Yes.
And that was a great game.
It was amazing. And, I mean, I'm so keen to play a Fire Pro Wrestling World on a modern console. I'm super keen. Super excited, even though Jacob and Elliot are both, like, falling asleep while I talk. I don't care.
I like it.
I've seen you play wrestling games before. It was very interesting to watch.
Oh, like at PAX and stuff.
I had whole little factions set up in my games. Yeah. So they were great.
They're really fun games to play. And they're good because they don't feature all the ones you know. They're all sort of like no-name wrestlers.
I don't
know
any
know
of them.
About.
No, man. Exactly.
Oh, but you'd know, like, The Rock and, like, people like that. You
the
know
actor.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The alpha.
Yeah, he's great.
Just killed Luke.
Slay.
I just came so close to cussing you on air. Like, swearing horribly. This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.